opened the door to see three men standing there. The one closest to her was a lumbering Neanderthal-browed hulk, the next a middling, middle-aged figure in overalls. And just behind him, there was a shorter, thinner, younger one with tattoos running down the sinewy muscles of his forearms. "The three bears," she said under her breath, noticing as she did that the paint on the jam had begun to flake. It was a deep mulberry shade called Grand Pooh Bar, the name of which had made her grandmother honk with laughter in the middle of the hardware store. It had been a few months after Anna's granddad died, and Gussie had wanted to cheer herself up. Shifting her gaze from the men, Anna pressed the tongues of loose paint against the bare wood in a futile attempt to reaffix them. "What's that, you say?" asked the lumbering one, who with his rough halo of golden hair and a belly that strained the weave of his shirt reminded her distinctly of Papa Bear. "Have we got the right place?" He consulted a notebook, running a stubby forefinger down the page, and then looked across at her. "Jenkins, is it?" "Oh, sorry," replied Anna, suddenly flustered at the thought that he might have overheard her. "Come in." She stood back and ushered them through the door, and the men looked around, sizing up the place, their heavy boots echoing in the empty house. Anna held her breath as she led them into the kitchen, a tiny space in the middle of the long, narrow terrace that hadn't seen an update in decades. She gazed at the lemon formica, the timber cupboards, and the orange and brown linoleum, its patterned surface worn to a blur by a million steps. She remembered the excitement of coming to stay as a child, being driven across the bridge from her leafy suburban home to what seemed like another world, one of endless, twisting, narrow streets and slivers of houses fronted by lacy wrought iron balconies, of sitting at the kitchen table eating jam sandwiches washed down with frosted glasses of icy pink Nesquik, of her granddad taking her and her sister up the street to the corner store, skipping ahead of them over the cracks in the pavement, eager for the redskins and violet crumbles that were stacked on the shop's narrow shelves. In summer there were sweet and sticky icy poles or paddle pops, a Monaco bar if they were really lucky. Sweet memories, all. Papa Bear spoke. "All right then, love, we'll go and get our gear and make a start. Shouldn't take us too long," he said as he led the others away. They returned a few minutes later, armed with crowbars and hammers, and Anna left them to it, going up the stairs and into her grandparents' old bedroom at the front of the house. The flowered yellow wallpaper was mottled with faded patches where the afternoon sun caught it, and the carpet was worn. As she reached the centre of the room, she caught a faint whiff of Gussie's perfume, Youth Dew, applied with a generous hand and worn without a hint of irony. She half expected Gussie to come bustling out at her, grey hair neatly curled, drying her hands on a towel and scolding her for the lack of warning, a ready smile dimpling her cheeks nonetheless. Granddad had died when Anna was a teen, but it was the loss of Gussie she felt the most. Of course, in recent years, more often than not when Anna would call round, her grandmother would mistake her for her mother, or worse, not recognise her at all. Now the sombre tick of the clock on the mantel was the only welcome. Anna ran a finger along the dusty windowsills, then opened the French doors onto the balcony that faced the street, letting in the breeze. The house had been shut up for a few months, and the smell of damp couldn't be ignored. It had been an insufferably humid summer. Her grandparents had favoured dark, heavy furniture with sturdy, turned legs that weighed an absolute ton. The house had been crammed with it, every last bit of wall space taken up with sideboards and dressers, their surfaces laden with floral china, crocheted doilies, dusty glass ornaments, collectors' dolls dressed in native costumes from countries they would never visit. But the clearance firm had been the week before, and now the place was emptier than Anna had ever known it, almost all trace of its former occupants erased. Sudden grief overwhelmed her and brought a rush of wet heat behind her eyes. "It's only stuff," she told herself sternly. "None of it will bring Gussie back." Her grandmother had left this house, the Paddington Terrace she'd been born in, raised a family in, and died in, solely to Anna. That had been a surprise, almost as shocking as the fact of her grandmother's death. For, despite her fading memory, the old lady had been spry, insisting on living by herself. "What would I want with a load of old strangers dribbling into their tea and cacking their undies?" she'd asked when Anna's mum had tentatively suggested several times over recent years that she might want to think about moving to a retirement home. Anna felt suddenly overwhelmed. Was she doing the right thing? Should she have waited? Did she have the strength to do this on her own? "Don't be ridiculous," she scolded herself. The decision had been made. She would see this through.